The scripture lesson this morning comes from James 3:16 and Romans 12, verses 15 and 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say. There was a Lamaze class, a pre-birth class, aimed at couples who already had at least one child. And the instructor raised the issue of how do you break the news to the oldest child that a new child is on the way. The instructor said something like this: some parents tell the older child, "We love you so much we decided to bring a new child into the family." Think about it. Why do you have to break the news gently to the older child? It's because children have a hard time sharing the limelight, right? But it's not just children. Adults are the same way. We have a hard time being excited and sharing the limelight when others are happy and have great times. But today, I want to say this. It's a trap not celebrating others' success. It's a trap when we will refuse to celebrate with others, when we will refuse to rejoice when others rejoice. But can I be the first to admit that sometimes it's hard to celebrate others' success? I'm going to admit that. My sister, she has a PhD. She worked very hard for it, and yet I've never once called her Dr. Jeannie. I say her name all the time, but I've never once said Dr. Jeannie. And what's strange is that the closer we are to a person, especially if we're related to them, the harder it can be to celebrate their success. You know what I mean? You go home for the holidays and someone starts talking about their success and you do the eye roll. Here we go again. We downplay their success. Can I tell you who I think had the most difficult job of dealing with the success of a family member? The person who had to deal with it the most in the Bible, in my opinion, is James. Imagine being Jesus' little brother. What a hard job. Can you imagine? Just think about his parents saying, "Don't send James to the well. Send Jesus to the well." And remember that wedding trick, Jesus? We're having fish tonight, so make it white, okay? James, you cook tonight, but you don't have to go to the market. Jesus cooked last night, and there's plenty of leftovers. 12 baskets of leftovers. What a hard job James must have had being the little brother of Jesus. If anyone knew about envy and jealousy that can cause us to fall into a trap, it was James. You've heard siblings that are arguing with each other. Mom and dad like you better. Well, James could have truthfully said, "Jesus, mom and dad think you can do no wrong." James knew about as well as anyone. He knew his brother. And yet the Gospel of John tells us that James didn't believe in Jesus. John Bloom says this: familiarity breeds contempt when pride rules the heart. Familiarity breeds contempt when pride rules the heart. And when you think about it this way, it puts a whole new twist on Jesus' words. Jesus said this: a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And all of a sudden, we think about this and we hear these words with a new kind of pain that Jesus felt. His own brother didn't believe in him. But later on, James would not only become a believer, he would become a leader in the church, and he was modeled because of his faith that his brother was the Son of God. James gives us this unique firsthand experience of envy and jealousy, and he shares with us some of his learning in today's scripture lesson. James 3:16 says this, "For where you have envy and what? Selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice." Let's read that together. "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Envy is negative feelings about someone else's achievement. And it's really ugly when you think about it. To think about, I'm going to be happy when you fail. And I'm going to be sad when you succeed. That's ugly. Some people call it spite. I heard a quote that says this, "Spite is never lonely. Envy tags along and invites all our friends." Spite is never lonely. Envy tags along and invites all her friends. When we want to see someone fall, envy is there. And not only envy, when we want to see someone fall, we'll lie about them. We'll steal and we think we deserve it. And we'll go all the way down until we're in some dark and ugly place. And we'll think, how did I get here? How did I end up doing all these things? And James would say, if you turn around, you'll see a whole lot of connected dots. And they'll all lead back to envy and spite. Envy, spite, and selfish ambition. Well, let me ask you a question. We said this from the very first week. If there is no win in comparison, then where's the win? If we can't win in comparing ourselves, if we can't win in envy and strife, where is it that we win? Well, last week we looked at the parable of the talents, and we said that God has entrusted to each of us some gift, some ability. And the main question I want you to think about is this. What are you planning to do with what God has given you? Can you say that with me? What are you planning to do with what God has given you? Last week, we talked about that danger of just digging that hole and just burying that gift and doing nothing with it at all. I want you to think about it this way. I've got a picture of a bookshelf here. And this bookshelf, just for argument's sake, let me say that all of us are a bookshelf. Every one of us. You're a bookshelf, you're a bookshelf, you're a bookshelf. Everyone is a bookshelf. And here's something about the bookshelf that you are. It's unique. You are made in a unique way. You have unique titles. You have unique additions. You have unique experiences. No two bookshelves are the same. Your story is a combination of your experiences and the experiences of others. Your bookshelf has love stories and heartbreaks. Your stories have stories of triumph and stories of tragedy as well. And here's the sad thing that happens, though. Envy and jealousy would have us to look around at everyone else's bookshelf. And we look and we say, oh my goodness, if only I had her finances. I could just have her finances and everything would be great. And then we look around. Oh my goodness, if I could just take his family. Oh, he's such a great family. My life would be perfect. Look around and we say, oh my goodness, if I had her personality, oh, everything would be great. Oh, if only I could just grab, oh my goodness, if only I could take their singing ability. Oh my goodness, oh, my life would be great. And you know what we try to do? We try to build a bookshelf that never exists. There's not one person who's got all of these gifts and all of these talents, but we try to just build them by envy and wishing to desire to have what these people have. And what we fail to realize is that even if there was a person who had all of these gifts and talents, they'd also have pain and struggling that we have no idea about. There was a comedian I was listening to, and he was being serious. He was talking about envy and strife. And he talked about his early days of being a comedian. And he said, when I was young, I wished that I had the improvisation of Robin Williams. I wish I had the observation of C.K. Lewis. And I wish that I had the charm of Bill Cosby. He said he was so envious of all of these great comedians and just wished so much that he could have their skills. He said, but later on in life, he realized that he didn't know what they were going through. The depression of Robin Williams, the struggles of C.K. Lewis, and the depravity of Bill Cosby. See, what happens is that we're like him. We try to pick and choose. We try to say, if I take this, if I take this, and if I take this, then it's just as easy as adding books to our bookshelf, and I could just be this perfect person. But we don't understand the struggles and the pain and sometimes the sin that goes along with it. The truth is this, you will never be someone else. Can you say that with me? You will never be someone else. Say it again. You will never be someone else. And that's all right, because you were never intended to be someone else. You were made to be you. And you're unique. And to compare yourself with others when you think about it is really an insult to your creator. Think about it. To compare yourself to someone else and say, why am I not more like this or like this or I don't have this? It's really an insult to your creator. The prophet Isaiah asks the question, does the clay argue with the potter? Are we blaming God for the way that God made us? God didn't make you to be like someone else. God made you to be you. When I first came here, I remember the very first day I was meeting with the staff, and I asked Rose Murphy. Anybody remember Rose Murphy? I asked Rose Murphy. I said, "Well, Rose, what kind of pastor does Lawrence United Methodist Church need?" You know, I said, "What should my preaching style be like?" You know, and Rose said, "We hired you to be you." I never forget that. It felt so freeing to me, knowing that I came from a different background than most of the church, knowing that my ways of doing things were different, that I was here to be me, that it's okay to be the unique person that God made you to be, and that actually when we seek to be someone else other than what God has made us, it's an insult to the Creator. Here's what I want to say. What's on your bookshelf is not as important as what you do with what's on your bookshelf. Can I say that again? What's on your bookshelf is not as important as what you do with what's on your bookshelf. Actually, this bookshelf right here, this is my bookshelf from my office. And I just took a picture of it. But can I tell you something? I'm going to be honest here. I never use those books. I don't ever use them. Now, I used to, but guess what? Nowadays, everything is an electric book. It's all on Kindle, right? I don't go and use those books anymore, but guess what? When people walk into my office and they see the bookshelf, it looks what? It looks impressive. It looks good. I got all those books up there that I haven't opened in years. But guess what? Last week, we talked about the stewards, the servants. They weren't supposed to settle accounts with each other. They're supposed to settle accounts with the master. And one day, I'm going to have to settle accounts, not with you or not with you, but I'm going to have to settle accounts with the master. And guess what? He's not going to be impressed by my bookshelf. He's going to ask this, what did you do with what was on your bookshelf? What did you do with what I blessed you with? What did you do with the gifts that I gave you? And so here's what we should do. There's no win in comparison. Then the win comes when we celebrate what God has given others. Celebrate what God has given others. I don't know what that means to you, but maybe it means asking that deeper question. When you know something has happened excited in a person's life, and you know, you're like, oh, don't ask them that because they'll talk about that forever. Maybe you ask them about that. Give them that chance to say what's going on good. Maybe it's you compliment that lady who's got a perfect dress on, or that guy who's looking strong. Maybe you go out and instead of allowing envy to eat you up, you compliment and you celebrate them. And then here's the second thing that we need to do. Number two, use what God has given you. Say that with me one more time. That's so important. Use what God has given you. A lady told her friend, "I just burned 2,000 calories. He said, "Are you serious? 2,000 calories? "Yes," the lady said, "that's the last time that I baked brownies while napping." You gotta use what God has given you. You know the saying, use it or lose it, right? Use what God has given you. We are so often envious of what someone else has that we miss the opportunities to use what God has given us. And when we think about our favorite stories, what kind of stories do we like? Whether they be fiction or biographical stories, we don't like the stories where a person is born that has everything given to them. Everything is just perfect in their life. They don't go through any struggle, and then they go on to do something great. We say, so what? You were supposed to do that. Like we said last week, oh yeah, well if we had all of those gifts and we had all of that, then of course. The stories that we like, though, are the stories where people had limited resources. They had a limited bookshelf. They didn't have all of the opportunities that others had in life. And yet, in spite of all that, they go on to do something great. And you know what? Here's one thing they have in common. If you ask those people, what is it that you do during the day? They would not say, well, what I did was I looked around at what everyone else had and I was upset. I was just so envious and jealous all the time of what everyone else had. That's not what they'll tell you they did. What they'll tell you is they looked at what they had and they decided to do something with it. And that's the challenge I believe God gives us in the life. Look at what you've been blessed with and make the conscious effort to have the help of the Holy Spirit to do something great within you. There was a pre-birth class, a Lamaze class, aimed at couples who already had at least one child. And the instructor raises the issue of breaking the news to the older child. The instructor begins by saying this: some parents choose to tell their older child, "We love you so much that we decided to bring another child into the family." The instructor said, "But I personally don't like that method at all. Imagine, ladies, what if your husband came home one day and said, honey, I love you so much, I've decided to bring home another wife to the family." One of the women in the back immediately spoke up and asked, "Does she cook?" Do you cook? Do you sing? Do you write? Do you paint? Do you listen to others? Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that's on your bookshelf, do it to the glory of God and celebrate the success of others. Amen? Amen.